This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I am your second Bad Ideas host.
And I'm just a Bill. No, I'm not a Bill at all. But every time I think Lucky Number Three, Zach Valenti, I do think about Schoolhouse Rock, which also makes me think about I'm Just a Bill.
Which I've still never seen Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, my God.
I think this is Lucky Number Three times that it's come up on No Bad Ideas.
And then they threw away their entire plan for this game show to force Gabrielle to watch this. No, we're going to the plan A.
Schoolhouse Rock is not going anywhere. It hasn't gone anywhere since the 70s.
It's not. And it doesn't belong on No Bad Ideas because it's a good idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's great idea. It is pretty great.
Three's a magic number. I don't care what anybody else tells me.
Well, in that case, let's talk about what we are doing here today. This is No Bad Ideas, the show where we dredge up the worst ideas that humanity has ever had, specifically three of them. We each inflict one upon our other two co-hosts, an idea that is completely new to them and will leave them suitably horrified, just gasping in fear like they are the subject of an Edvard Munch painting.
Ah.
Exactly like that.
We take a break from our regular lives to do this.
Yes, it's true. But afterwards, that's when the real fun begins, because afterwards we have 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, to figure out how we turn that bad idea into a story that is worthy of human ears. And today, I have the first bad idea. You guys excited? You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So we are recording this the week after Halloween. I have kind of a Johnny come lately.
Of course you do.
Halloween.
Sure.
Story for you guys.
Okay.
Comes from Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. But it's important that this story was released the day before Halloween.
So this is about events October 30th.
That are happening October 30th.
Got it.
And as I sometimes do, I think that I'm going to save the headline for later and just dive into the article from the Huffington Post.
Lovely.
And dear listeners, if you would like to read along, there is a link to this article in the description for this episode. So, all it took for one fugitive in Illinois to turn himself in was a little photo manipulation.
Hmm.
WBBM-TV in Chicago reports that the Kanankakee County Sheriff's Department posts notices about fugitives on its Facebook page every Wednesday. This week, the department posted a picture of Brandon W. Conti. The 25-year-old was wanted for failure to appear on a drunk driving charge. Conti commented on the post.
Oh, no.
And asked, "Where's my costume?" Sheriff's office staff then edited the photo to add a sailor suit and a hat that reads, "Ahoy." An officer wrote, "We held up our end of the bargain." Conti replied with laughing emojis, noting that he would turn himself in before noon and asked the police have the paperwork done and ready. The department confirms Conti subsequently turned himself in.
Okay. Cool.
The headline reads, "Suspect surrenders only after police photoshopped sailor suit onto his mugshot."
Oh my God. For the lulls.
And
crime edition.
Dear listeners, you should definitely check out the article for the photos. I am now turning my computer around so that Zach and Sarah can see the modified mugshot.
Oh my God.
What?
In what world was that worth it to him? Also, Can you remind me the crime? The original
crime? Drunk driving.
It was failure to appear in court on a drunk driving charge. So it's seems like we are in the... I mean, that is a terrible idea. It seems like we are sort of in the realms of municipal fines.
Right. This isn't like...
Murder.
Robbed a bank, killed a person.
Yeah.
Although it is, however, 10 minutes on the clock. Now we're
serious. Close and to, like, you can go to jail for that.
And you can kill somebody doing it.
Absolutely.
So
don't do that. I'm boggled by the motive. Because it's October 30th.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm a 25-year-old Illinois dude.
Uh-huh.
I know
you drunk drive every now and then.
Every now and then, you know, I have this outstanding charge. I see my mugshot appear
on the Facebook
Facebook page because I'm following the Facebook page for the police department.
Hey, you got to know your enemy. You're also a Sun Tzu reader, so you know what's
right.
up.
Wow.
I have read The Art of War and nothing else. and so, like, not only do I have the urge to comment on the post of myself, but, like, it's not even Halloween. Where's my costume makes sense if it's October 31st?
Hey, some people celebrate Halloween, you know, like...
Real talk, this was a long Halloween over. Because it was on a Thursday night.
That's right.
So there was weekend Halloween.
And people celebrating the week before. Yeah. Like, there was some ambiguity.
Yeah, no, it was a rolling Halloween.
Yeah. So Brandon was rolling into Halloween.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, geez, like... I don't know what to do, like, other than, like, is there some clear emotional need to interact with the only person who's paying attention to you,
right.
which is the sheriff's department. So, like, can we just grandfather Last Christmas, which is a movie I have not seen yet.
Because it is, at the time of this recording, not yet.
It's not out. Yeah, although reviews are starting to come in.
Oh, interesting.
It's a Christmas movie, apparently. But, like, can we just have Henry Golding and Emilia Clarke, like, fall in love with each other? He comes in for petty infractions every now and again, and they start connecting via the Facebook page for the sheriff's department where she works.
Just to be clear, the setup for this rom-com is she is an aspiring graphic designer that is making ends meet by running the social media page for the local sheriff's office.
Sure, why not?
He is a drunken driver. But, like, you know...
We can make it a different crime.
Well, but I think that it needs to be...
It needs to be something
similarly
bad.
Petty because it can't be something that he gets sent to jail, like, for 10 years.
Yeah. I got you a good one.
Because they need to be meeting every Halloween as he keeps doing this over and over and asking to get more costumes. What have you got, Zach?
I got you a good one. So he is living downtown in New York City.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
And he has a pumpkin ale on a stoop.
Sure.
That is or is not his stoop. And you can't do that in New York City.
Mm.
And he did not have the wherewithal or good graces to put it in a brown paper bag.
Ah.
And so he got written up.
I see.
And then failed to appear for that.
And he's fighting the man. He's like, I'm not going to show up to, you know.
That's dumb.
Yeah. F it. But then.
For all you know, this is my stoop. I'm not hurting anyone.
I kind of want to make this guy like the king of Halloween. Like every, you know, he has like the most tricked out house with decorations. Every year he throws the biggest Halloween party.
Sure.
But he just doesn't have a genuine connection. You know, he's at the center of this social hurricane.
Right. He has to be in a costume to feel comfortable.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, when he sees his mugshot modified so that he has a sailor's outfit and a small hat that reads Ahoy! Which is, by the way, also the title of the movie.
I mean,
Ahoy!
Ahoy there!
Oh my God!
It just feels,
but
a
it's
real
like you
connection.
Do it, but you do it in leet speak because it's all about the the connection over the Facebook Messenger.
Wow.
Like the ahoy, like the O is a zero.
So like at the end of the movie, does the person that is working in the sheriff's office have to go to one of his parties and have to put on a costume, which they've never done before,
yeah,
in order
to
be able
Halloween
to like,
is
fit
stupid.
In. Yeah.
Wow. To infiltrate, to be the undercover cop.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, and I think that that is not the end of the movie. That is maybe like the end of the first act. And
sure,
then,
sure.
And then it proceeds from there, but. That's what I've got for you. I genuinely don't know what to do with this.
So my improv brain goes to yes and escalate. Uh-huh. So like find the game, like the fun thing about this, which is somebody does something that is not imprisonable. Like, you know, it's like not like they're like the stakes are not zero, but they're not uh-huh. like through the roof.
Like right. getting caught by traffic cameras, which is a perfect thing. That's a shitty thing municipalities do to make a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And it would sort of feel appropriately stick it to the man to not pay those tickets and then not show up for court
right.
summons.
Totally. And then realize that you can get somebody at the sheriff's office to use Photoshop to do something very silly as like basically I think it's like I think the ridiculous thing was that they were able to like basically bribe the
right.
police department to make a meme.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like with this newfound power, are they satisfied
mm-hmm.
in real life?
Or,
yes, because
yeah.
they would probably get arrested after that. But in this movie that
yeah,
we're
yeah.
making.
Maybe or like
they're like drunk with that newfound power,
right, so
and
it's like,
see
you know,
or you know, it gets around, it. And so the next person who his mugshot is posted is
oh,
like, "Where's
no.
my where's my costume?"
Oh,
right,
no.
And then that guy, you know, like you know, he gets the sailor suit treatment, and it's like, wait, no, that's what Brandon got. I want my costume. I want my.
I want to be
guys,
Zorro.
Guys, this is maybe the first time ever on No Bad Ideas. I'm going to pitch you guys a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode.
Okay.
It's just a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode, which is that in order to catch a... So I don't know, would it be funnier if Peralta... This is only going to make any sense to
if
people
if you've
who
seen Brooklyn
that.
Nine-Nine,
maybe
which
we
you should,
do
it's very
this.
Funny.
Maybe this is why we don't do that.
we're pitching a Brooklyn Nine-Nine spec script right now.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So would it be funnier if... Because I think Peralta's the obvious choice for doing the Photoshop. And I'm terrible with everybody else's names, but Peralta.
I would believe that Rosa is surprisingly good at Photoshop.
I would believe that too. Is Rosa Chelsea Peretti?
No.
No. Who?
That is Stephanie Beatrice.
That is Stephanie Beatrice. And then who is the...
I mean, Gina is definitely good at Photoshop. We all know this, but Gina is kind of out of the show at this point.
Okay, I see. Yeah. So who... Rosa is the late, like the, maybe the archetypes would be useful for listeners also.
Oh, she's
so
sort
like
of like a very hardcore.
Me. Great. So
I've
so,
made you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
So Peralta's like
yes,
sort of
but
the,
I do not remember the names of people. I know that Jake Peralta is the
like
Andy,
is Andy Samberg.
Yeah,
the
kind
the
of man-child.
Right.
Yes.
Man-child savant, like doofus extraordinaire.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Ends up being really good by being really annoying in some ways.
2 minutes, by the way.
Oh, God. And then...
Rosa Diaz is like a really hardcore, very tough outwardly and has quirks.
That's Stephanie Beatrice.
That's Stephanie Beatrice.
Okay, got it.
The Minkowski of the situation. No?
Well, I don't know because like you also have Captain Holt who is the put upon in charge captain.
Right. He's like Kepler if he wasn't evil.
Let us
anyway,
fast forward to the situation of the situation.
I'm just wondering, would it be funnier for Jake or Rosa to do the... Because I feel like she would do it in like an extreme circumstance and surprise him by doing it and then feel really guilty later or have it be a problem later when it's like it solved that one problem but created a whole new problem. And he's
I mean,
more
Jake is the
choice.
Jake is the character whose function in that series is to like solve a problem and create a bunch of new problems.
Okay,
so it should be Jake who does this.
Okay.
And then, you know, I think they will then have to probably like shut down the Facebook page at the end of the episode or something
okay.
like that.
And what is the this that he is doing? Photoshopping the
Photoshopping
Ahoy.
But it's just with one dude. It's not like
I think it starts with one dude
uh-huh.
and the dude turns themselves in.
Okay.
And then suddenly, like next Wednesday, post goes out. gets a similar response of where's my costume.
Brandon got a costume. Why don't I get a costume?
So then has to like discovers this kind of weird surefire way to get low level criminals to turn themselves in. But it involves increasingly ridiculous costumes and like having to top the last costume every single time.
And probably at a certain point, like his artistic perfectionism kicks in.
Yes, absolutely.
And all of a sudden he's pulling all nighters just to get like the shadows
right. Inefficient way to get people in.
And then like, so, you know, the criminals probably have opinions like about what's acceptable. Like Edna Mode, I won't turn myself
in for that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I would turn myself in for? Time.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Alas, that is 10 minutes.
Well, a good episode of some cop procedural, perhaps Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
Perhaps another.
And also kind of the beginnings of a very ridiculous rom-com. Emilia Clarke, if you want to do something next year, give us a call. We're available.
We're around.
We're not doing anything. Yeah. Except taking a short break. And then we're going to be right back with more bad ideas.
Hello, everybody. Zach Valenti jumping into this episode with a quick announcement. First, for anyone who hasn't heard yet, Gabrielle, Sarah, and I took the better part of the last 8 weeks to produce a brand spanking new audio fiction miniseries called Zero Hours, Stories from the Ends of the World. All of that is online now, so you can go check that out at zerohourspodcast.com. We're all super proud of it and hope you like it. Can't wait to hear what you think. Feel free to get at us on Twitter. And while you're at it, if you are a fan of that series or would like to see some of the incredible original art that was created for our new merchandise for Zero Hours, the merch store is live with fresh goods hot off the press. You can find t-shirts, mugs, tote bags, and much more over at zerohourspodcast.com/merch. Once again, that's zerohourspodcast.com/merch. As proud as we are of the show, we are blown away by some of the art that we got from our very own Michaela Buckley. It is really art to behold. So check that out, zerohourspodcast.com/merch. And now, back to No Bad Ideas.
With yet another No Bad Idea.
Woohoo!
You guys ready?
No.
Excellent.
Woohoo!
Look at these
what
synonyms.
What I like to hear. I also am going to forego reading the headline for this because it's kind of a short article.
Okay.
And I think it's fun to sort of dive into it. It comes to us from Sky News.
Okay.
Because it is set in Ireland and it's kind of something... that I think only would happen in Ireland.
Ah.
Praise be to the sky.
Yeah, this was clearly not a bad idea for this person, but it's kind of a bad idea in general. And I'm curious to see where you spring off from it.
All right.
So let me hit you. Quote.
Ow. No, I'm joking. You didn't actually.
You're not far off. Quote. Let me out. It's fucking dark in here, cried Shea Bradley from his coffin as it was being lowered into the ground.
Oh, fuck.
In Kilmana, Kilkenny on the 12th of October.
Oh, my claustrophobic nightmares have come real.
In a pre-recorded message, the voice continued,
oh,
where the fuck
God.
Am I? Is that a priest?
Are you
this
kidding
is
me?
Shay, I'm in the box. He then sang, hello again. Hello. I just called to say goodbye.
Wow.
Oh my God. Ensuring what a troll.
He got the last laugh at his own send off. The 62-year-old Irish Defense Force veteran had his family and friends in fits of giggles rather than tears. Mr. Bradley's daughter, Andrea Bradley, said he had been sick for 3 years before he died on the 8th of October and had planned his prank over the last year.
Fuck.
She told Sky News, quote, he was always full of life and he was big stature, but even bigger in personality. The headline reads, man speaks from beyond the grave at his own funeral in Ireland. Bradley got the last laugh at his own send-off by giving mourners a shock with a pre-recorded message. And it's very sweet, but also very terrible.
So that could end so badly.
I am putting 10 minutes on the clock.
Man.
Like, can you imagine surprising people with that? Like, you weren't funny.
Right.
Personality.
No. You were a very sort of, you know, you were just saving it. You were kind of going like, it will be so much better if I spend 30 years without cracking a smile.
Oh, shit. And like, imagine the person who's like a curmudgeon, who's like really not close, who read this article and was like, yeah, called up their lawyers,
like
sent them
a spite, the spiteful version of this.
Right. And then like at their funeral, it's like, fuck you. I was killed by Jonathan, you know, like, and you didn't
like,
get
Zach
it right.
Did it. Yeah. Zach did it.
That's right.
Man, do the
let me out of here.
Have the wooden overcoats people read this?
Oh my god! Yo, that's a funny idea for their show.
And dear listeners, if you do not know wooden overcoats, that
you
is a
absolutely
audio
rectify that
situation. Fiction podcast about two rival funeral homes
on a tiny island in the middle of the English Channel.
So this is very up their alley.
Absolutely,
with a recent brief episode written by our very own Sarah Shackett.
There's also a recent brief episode written by Mr. Gabriel Urbina as well.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. That's not brief.
Rounding
anymore.
Down.
Not recent anymore, yeah. But okay, let's get down to business. What can we make here?
Also, I have to go on another bender of let's make a pilot script for another show.
Cool.
So long as we've
spec script, not
spec
pilot.
Script,
yes.
Spec script. I just have recently seen the most recent season of BoJack Horseman and could imagine this being a Todd subplot of like,
oh no,
he's like does a from the beyond the grave prank that then ends up running a business somehow. Kind of a joke idea, not actually serious.
No, and like
real
if you want to run with that, we will need to kind of do it. If you have not heard BoJack Horseman, here is
the moving parts.
Yeah.
No. It's a depressing horse show.
It is a show.
That is such an insufficient and such a complete description of that show.
Twitter is my medium, what can I say?
Oh dear.
No, but I think that God, this is almost like I don't know if you guys have ever seen that cinematic masterpiece. Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it. Exclusively watching that movie from now on too many times.
So the premise of Weekend at Bernie's is a couple of people need to kind of fake someone that has died still being alive. So it's a lot of kind of, you know, like
manipulation
propping
of
them
a corpse
up and putting like the sunglasses on them and so on. I think that this is the natural extension of Weekend at Bernie's.
Is trying to sort of deep fake that someone is still alive at their own funeral.
And I think that it needs to kind of be like the police are trying to get a confession out of someone. Like someone is trying to like, you know, like the play in Hamlet that is kind of designed to make the king kind of blurt out that he... to incriminate themselves and say that
he killed
the old king. Yeah. I think that it would have to be something like that. Like kind of, it's a sting operation. The police
are
pretty damn sure that the widow killed old man Carmichael. So they're trying to figure out a way to...
basically get her to panic.
Yes.
And this
they're trying to telltale heart her.
Yeah. Very notoriously cool person.
Yes.
And does her heart give out?
Maybe that would be funny.
That would be funny.
If instead of like, you know, kind of blurting out, they give the person a heart attack from the shock.
Right. And don't get the confession.
Right.
Except
get an answer.
They like maybe put the evidence that they wanted to hear into a computer that can simulate her voice and put that into her coffin.
Oh, no. The wheel just keeps on
where
turning.
Where were you going with this?
Yeah, no. This would also have to be like, this would be like deeply inadmissible. So maybe it's not the police. Maybe it's like,
I think this
may be, it's just going to be Hamlet, isn't it?
It's just going to be Hamlet. No, this is going to be a family affair.
Yeah.
But you know, it could have something to do with, there could be like an inheritance on the line or something. So there's like a grandmother who's still alive. And the goal is, and they have favored this, very sketchy person who has wormed their way into the family or whatever. And so there is a plot to sort of unseat that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens the weekend that everybody comes together for a funeral.
Yeah. I think that it needs to be like basically updated Clue.
Right.
Like, you know, there's a rich guy. He's kind of an asshole. Everybody in his family hates him. Everyone in his family is also an asshole.
Yeah.
But he has this valet played by a time-traveling Tim Curry.
Yes.
Who is genuinely a good guy. And he's the only person that likes the old rich guy. The valet is persuaded to take his first vacation in 30 years of working for this guy. He gets to Cabo 2 days there. He gets the telegram, you know.
Yes, this should take place in the 30s, by the way.
Yeah. You know, like old Master Carmichael has unexpectedly passed away of unspecified but not at all suspicious circumstances.
Right.
We need you back for the funeral. And then when he gets there, it's kind of him being like, one of you motherfuckers killed him.
Yeah.
And it is sort of this, you know, comedy of manners. Of
right.
Kind of
sort
all
of a
these
Julian Fellows-ish, like cast of outlandish characters that are all suspicious in their own ways. And so our valiant valet has to suss out who is actually responsible.
Right. And needless to say, there's a lot of kind of like, you poisoned the rice. Ah, but I never got a chance to serve him the rice. He was already dead by the time that my plan to try to kill him went into effect. And, you know, and kind of a lot of like, just because I loaded the poisoned gun doesn't mean that I actually used
him.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, like sort of a lot of interlocking plans.
Absolutely.
And very kind of high, strung, fast talking. Comedy.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to spend some time with some British actors.
Yeah. I don't know how he manages to do the voice, though, especially if it's from the 30s.
I was wondering. Well, yeah. I imagine they have a phonograph.
Sure.
But they would need to just like get like a good like an actor or someone.
Maybe the valet or like the cook or some very unassuming person who is put upon throughout the film can do amazing impressions.
Or this, the guy that is murdered is actually just incredibly paranoid.
Oh, sure. I mean,
has a body double that has been living upside in the house for the past 15 years while he secretly lives in the bat cave.
That's
down
funny.
Below.
So the body double got murdered.
The body double got murdered and is like, you know,
this is the plot of that new Zhang Yimou movie.
Yes, it is a little bit. Yes.
Here you go. They have a twin.
Oh, they have a secret
perfect.
Twin.
Who the valet brings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's
is
a
like
twist.
Watching their micro expressions be like, which one of you is surprised?
Right. Oh my God. That's perfect. Yeah. No, like it's this whole big scandal of like, you know, like.
There can be plots within plots because I would believe that this old curmudgeon-y dude has recorded messages to catch out every single member of his family.
Right.
Murder.
Yeah.
Right.
If, you know, Camilla murdered me, play tape 24-B.
Right.
If Arnold murdered me, play tape, you know, 27-X or whatever.
It could also be totally unrelated in the sense that, like, maybe they were planning a big birthday and doing, like, a murder mystery party.
Right.
All these, like, wax cylinders of, like, you know, like, welcome to my spooky party.
That's if it's a surprise. I really like that. Yeah. If they are gathering for, like, the purposes funeral. Of the funeral, then...
But what if the funeral was on their birthday?
Well, they would need to have gathered for something
you're right, beforehand.
Yeah.
And because... then be held there.
Yes.
Much in the manner of Clue.
Indeed, indeed. Yes.
That way we could have an incompetent inspector.
Love me an incompetent inspector.
Love a good
inspector.
One of those.
Yes.
In the last 43-ish seconds, any thoughts, titles?
Well, we haven't discussed any of the suspects in detail, so I'm going to say
it was the twin.
There you go. The twin did it. Perfect. The valet did it.
Hey.
The butler did it.
Sometimes you got to play the hits.
Sometimes you got to go with the hits.
Yeah.
I do believe that the valet and the twin could split. You know, an infinite riches between themselves.
They're lovers.
Barely.
Whoa. And it's called Why Done It. You see, it's like yeah. the thing, but twisted. Like,
well,
you just give it a slight spin.
That's time. Just,
ah.
Yeah. We'll see what Knives Out does later this year.
I am so excited to see Knives
movie.
Out.
That does look insane.
Yeah. And it looks like the actually good
version
of this fever dream that we just went on.
Yes, it does.
Well, we will be back for another fever dream right after this.
Welcome back, everybody, to No Bad Ideas, where I am proud to say I think I may have topped my previous best terrible idea.
Ooh, them's fighting words.
With a multi-parter.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
So I first saw this story and didn't do it because I thought that we had already done it. Because, really, there are only so many people interacting with lion stories that I can remember, and I thought we'd done one.
I think we've only done the lion drone,
yeah.
I remember correctly.
But somehow I stitched into my memory.
I mean, that was like three bad ideas. It was such a bad idea.
So I have two sources. I'll only read one of them, but
okay.
I initially saw this in Huffington Post Weird News on October 1st, and the headline was "Woman Climbed into Bronx Zoo Exhibit to Taunt Lion." Which is basically all you need to know about the core story.
Cool.
It's also
cool.
Just like
to understand the badness.
It's also just like such a core bad idea.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, you know, you remove the safety measures between you and something dangerous in order to
taunt it.
The thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. But then,
oh God.
Oh no.
This popped back up in my feed.
Uh-huh.
Because this person has a social media account and is now rapping and is like begun to cultivate an online persona based on their
lion taunting,
their lion-esque feet.
No,
so this is a courtesy of Your Tango,
oh, God.
an expose on Maya Autry, the quote crazy cat lady who literally climbed into a lion's den at the Bronx Zoo.
Oh my God.
Just a wave of existential dread just hit me.
About a week later. So you won't believe this. Just when I thought my faith was restored in humanity, I realized I thought wrong. Thank you, writer. The trend with eating Tide Pods was pretty bad, but when I found out about a woman hopping over walled exhibits at the Bronx Zoo to be near the animals, I was speechless.
Yeah.
Maya Autry took a birthday weekend trip to the Bronx Zoo where she had her husband film several videos of her interacting with
and
taunting
adult?
Various animals in their dens.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Autry can be seen waving and shouting at the animals to get their attention and to seemingly prove a point to her audience that animals and humans are no different from one another.
Oh no.
Parentheses, cue eye roll.
Sweetheart.
So she saw no
spoilers,
harm in her
they
action.
Are different.
They're different.
They're different.
We are all animals, but we are different.
Animals.
Different animals. Yep.
Bystanders can be heard asking the videographer what she's doing and if she could come out, only to be hit with the husband's response of, quote, "She won't listen to me." there's that's not it, Sarah. There's nothing I can do. Except film. And then
title for whatever it is that we're doing. There's nothing I can do.
And then there is a video from ABC News of this woman standing across a lion in the enclosure, but I believe on the other side. We'll get into it.
Okay.
Austria has yet to be arrested and has posted a bunch of interesting posts on her Instagram page begging the question of her mental state.
Woof.
Who is Maya Autry? Number one. There was a 20-foot trench between her and the lion, making an attack impossible. It was discovered that the angle of the video created a deceptive illusion, hiding a 20-foot-wide, 20-foot-deep trench separating the woman from the lion, making the two appear much closer than they really are. Maya climbed over the safety barrier, but the zoo thought ahead, said that a concrete trench and moat separated the woman and the lion. However, it was also noted that this woman's taunting could have potentially caused the woman and or lion to fall down the trench, causing injuries and maybe even death, according to 2Fab, another news source. Number two, she climbed into the giraffe exhibit too, which I didn't know until I read this article. Maya didn't stop. Didn't just stop with her trip to the lion's den. She also made a trip to the giraffe exhibit and shared yet another recording of her display with the animals.
My God.
It is unclear if the exhibit also had a trench divider, but from the video, it sure doesn't look like it. NYPD says the culprit is Maya Autry. I want to get closer to him, the woman says in the video. Hi, baby. I love you, she mumbles to the lion as she waves before later breaking into a little dance.
PSA, lions are not babies.
No, they're not.
No. Then there's a link to the CNN through Twitter. Number three, people are outraged. Surprise. Bronx Zoo has acknowledged the issue on Twitter by sharing statements according to the incident, but others have shared their own opinions on the matter by commenting on Autry's Instagram videos.
Oh, I bet.
The main point people are addressing is the fact that if one of the animals attacked, it would have endangered the animal's life.
Yep.
Instagram commenter shared, that poor lion could have been killed if it crossed that moat and attacked you. I guess your silly bopping about didn't entice him. Grow up, get help. You did not enter his, quote, home. You entered his sidewalk. If you were on the other side of the deep moat, it'd be a different story. I promise you that. Bravery isn't staring a lion in the eye from 100 or so feet away. Bravery is respecting boundaries, and you did not. No, you did not enter his home. You entered a barricade that protects people. As you can clearly see, there is a moat between the two areas. Why do you think that is? Also, if you truly knew anything about animals, you would see the look in his eyes is called focus. He is focused on you for one reason. You would be lunch if he could have figured out a way over. I give the lion credit. He was at least smart enough to know he isn't supposed to cross the barriers. Number four, she posed in a photo with the Bronx police after trespassing.
Oh my God.
Hashtag YOLO. The same day this woman crossed zoo exit barrier, she posed for a photo with Bronx police. It's amazing how much audacity this woman had to not only pose with police after illegal activity, but to flaunt these episodes on social media for everyone to see. It's unclear if the woman suffers from mental illness, but her Instagram appears as if she's putting on a show and making a joke of committing a crime and simply walking away.
Oh, no.
And then there is a photo of her on the New York Post from Instagram with eyes, just like staring very maniacally into the camera.
Interesting.
Number five, the Bronx Zoo filed a criminal trespassing report.
Good.
I'm going to skip over that one. Pretty obvious. Number six, arrest hasn't been made yet. I think we can just kind of cut to the end of this. Basically, if you have any information about my Autry, you should call 1-800-577-TIPS. According to WSL, the New York Police Department tweeted this on Thursday night of the other week in October, about a month ago. I imagine that this has been handled, but who the hell knows?
Who knows?
Indeed.
If you'd like the rest of this article, it will, along with the rest of the articles of this episode, be listed in the show notes. And now, y'all have 10 minutes to turn this into something.
I've done some impulsive things on my birthday, but Jesus.
And I mean, I think that there is exactly one sympathetic character in this story, aside from the lion and the giraffe.
Yeah.
And that is the husband that gets kind of dragged into these things.
I can't do anything.
One interjection. From November 1st, the woman who taunted the lions in the Bronx Zoo lair plans to surrender to the NYPD, but says, I know the law. Go on.
All right, moving on.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
I love the NYPD. Hi, NYPD.
Sorry. No, and I think that it needs to kind of be like, you know, those books that were like stunt journalism, like the books
yeah.
that were like, I'm thinking of like something like A.J. Jacobs' Year of Living Biblically.
Or like the one, I mean, some of them are actually serious, like the one where someone actually lives on minimum wage and tries
sure.
to make it work for.
Well, I'm not talking about the serious ones. I'm talking about
the fast food nation kind
yeah.
of. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that this, like the first way that comes to my mind of how to adapt something like this is something like some person played by the sort of stereotypical casting choice for this would be like a Zooey Deschanel is a young out of work reporter gets hired for this project that is kind of like, you know, whatever Instagram tells you to do, like, you know, whatever
you
weekly
yeah.
poll wins, you have to do it. And her poor husband, boyfriend, friend, brother, some person that they're very close to gets kind of dragged in as the videographer, as the kind of documentarian,
right?
And it is kind of them trying to figure out how to keep them from getting seriously hurt, figure out how to keep them from sort of putting themselves in a position where irreparable harm would be done either
right.
to themselves
or
to others,
being unable to actually stop them.
Right
The Year of Living Bodie McBoatface.
God.
Perfect.
There you go.
Right. And like in this version of it, it would be sort of this journey of like, she is too, reckless. They are too uptight.
Cautious.
They both kind of need to sort of like go on journeys of meeting in the middle where he has to kind of shake things off and become a little bit more free spirited.
Right.
She needs to kind of not do something that is objectively dangerous and bad,
and specifically pull back from doing something that would get her like approval and the likes and the
right
sort of
exactly
attention.
Yeah,
pull back from attention to do something that's more circumspect.
Yes. But in being circumspect is actually kind of helpful and productive to
yes,
the people around
absolutely
them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because I mean the only other route is like Doolittle, which Robert Downey Jr. is making, so we don't have to worry about it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's
wow.
his follow-up to Iron Man.
All right, Robert Downey Jr.,
you
do
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, though.
Yeah. Okay. And so...
I mean, the dangerously encouraging route would be the parcel tongue of
The roaring tongue.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Like somebody
right.
in
the
a magical world
tongue.
Who can actually speak to lions discovers this, unfortunately, in public in a way that makes them seem crazy and dangerous to everyone around them and themselves and the lion. Maybe we don't want to encourage this.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, you know, I will say this much for that approach. I remember when we were young, watching Wild Thornberries. There was a show about
yeah.
kind of a Dr. Doolittle-like character that discovers that they can talk to animals. And it's a wonderful, amazing experience. And you get to kind of hear all these animal perspectives.
It's also animated.
It's also animated. But the episode where they do run into some lions is kind of her being like, I'm so excited to talk to lions. And then when she does, it's like, oh, no, these are really dangerous things. Like, you know, like these are bastards that just want to eat me. And I need to kind of remember that even if you can communicate with things, sometimes they
their
do.
Motivations are different from yours.
And two dimensionally
right.
hungry.
Right.
Right.
And I think that if I remember correctly, kind of in the Dr. Doolittle movies, there is this element of kind of all the animals are always at least willing to talk to him. But there might be sort of this element of like, oh no, this lion is just trying to get a meal, trying to
escape. Yeah, let's talk. But I'm sorry, my hearing's not so good. Yeah,
come a little closer.
So good.
Come
a little
close. Yeah.
4 minutes, 30 seconds.
Oh, great. Right.
Let's switch back to, I think, the stunt journalism, because that is the angle that haven't heard as many iterations of before. Do they go to the zoo? Is this like the culmination of the journey, or is this sort of the start that they do to gain notoriety?
I would say that's probably the start to gain notoriety.
Right.
And there's probably something that is kind of like, and the problem is that there needs to be something that is like, they're trying to get a certain number of points or something. There's some method that gets worked out.
Hmm.
And there's something that is kind of like, you know, at first it's just get in the pen the way that the real
person did. Yeah.
But then it sort of becomes like, we'll give you another 10 points if you get 5 feet closer. And then, you know, like another 20 if you get another five, if you cross this other barrier.
My mind just flashed to the Congress hearing for that world's Mark Zuckerberg, but go on.
Sure, yeah, no, sure, actually, yeah. Though. But yeah, but and then like then it's almost like a Hitchcock movie in a certain way. Oh, it's kind of are you like how close can you get? Like, well, how much is it worth it?
Yeah.
And you know, and like there's kind of that element of like at first you're like, okay, that was really tense, but it's over now. We did it. And then bling, like, you know,
50%
double or nothing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, oh man.
Any one thing free on Amazon if you go closer.
Mm. No, and you know what it is? It's the lion is asleep.
Yeah.
And so closer and closer and closer, but it's asleep. It's okay. But then when they're pretty close, their phone chimes because it's like, you just got like 100 points. Oh my God.
Bling, 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 bling,
exactly.
Bling,
yeah.
Wake up.
And that wakes up. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder about the points element of it, because that is something that doesn't exist in our world.
Yes, absolutely.
And so maybe adjusting it. I mean, I imagine for reasons of lawsuits, we would have to create a fake social media thing for this.
Yeah, you know, like Facebook, if you will.
I've seen the most trying to skid over that unartfully. have you seen the most recent season of, oh crap, that just totally
sure, well, sure.
Yeah.
It got canceled. It was on Netflix. It was super crazy and brilliant and all over the place.
DOA?
That's right.
Wow. Well done, Sarah.
Yep.
I have not.
They invented a video game that kind of has points. It's not quite that cut and dry, but
sure.
Like directionally, it's about solving puzzles. And I could see you taking puzzles and making them into pranks.
Right.
Yeah. I think maybe the play is like they know that if they get a certain number of video views, the platform will automatically feature them.
Yeah.
And so it's about like pumping up eyeballs is how I would solve that problem.
Right. So the early day of Craytube.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
YouTube.
Yes. That
you. You.
Mm.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
views for you.
For you.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
1 minute. What's it called?
Oh, boy. There's nothing I can do.
yeah. The Lion's Den. Pride.
That's not bad.
Tooth and claw. Tooth and nail.
How does it end?
I mean, probably delete the account. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is something that is like
the person deletes their own account.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is like by the end of it, it is something just incredibly dangerous. It is kind of like, you know,
Jesus,
get in this Jeep and accelerate to 50 miles an hour on the way to this ledge and then slam the brakes.
I would imagine like most people not on the app can't leave their homes in like cities, because I imagine they're not the only person on this thing. And so it's just like, oh, and that's time.
Well, there you go.
We'll imagine more another time.
That's right. Oh, my God. As always, with our stories that have to do with lions and other animals, we are very happy that it seems that no animals were harmed in the course of this idea. And just as always, please, guys, do remember that animals deserve our respect and deserve to be properly taken care of. And if you are not a licensed professional, then you should not be interacting with things that are not regular household pets. Please do not go into lion's dens. That is just bonkers.
There is a Charlie Chaplin film that has done it for you. You can watch that.
He suffered so that you can laugh at his pain.
And he did it in a controlled way.
That's right.
Anyway.
Yes. But wow, what a bad idea. Zach, your track record with bad ideas involving large cats
is high.
I think it's very good.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. It's a joy to have you with us. And we'll see you in the next episode. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks. See you next week.